It's Tuesday, January 17th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians roster is looking like it's almost pretty much set right now with the passing of the arbitration signings on Friday. All of the arbitration eligible, I believe seven Guardians players who were eligible for arbitration are now signed and in the fold, and everybody's expected to be in Goodyear when the pitchers and catchers report in the middle of February.
Yeah, Joe, it went off for the second year. They went 7-for-7, the front office. Chris Antonetti, Mike Chernoff ran the table in arbitration. They got their big guys done. They got their little guys done. So, from Shane Bieber signing for just over $10 million to Karinchak signing for, $1.5 million. They got all those guys done. Like you said, the roster's just pretty much set unless, something really unexpected, comes along between now and, opening day.
Yeah. That really does beg the question. Are the Guardians done adding to this roster before, spring training opens? I guess if we ask Chris Antonetti, the answer would be, well, we're always open to, and we're always engaging and looking, but I think right now they're going to roll with what they've got.
Yeah, definitely. I think, do you see him making a major move? I don't, Brian Reynolds, the Pirates outfielder is still being shopped around. I mean, that would be a major acquisition. I know Cleveland has had interest in him in the past, but what would you have to give up to get him, Joe? I mean, that's another, the Murphy, the Oakland catcher deal. That's what it would, Sean Murphy would, it would take another deal like that or some kind of package like that to make that deal. So I think, I think we might see some moves on the edges of the roster, but I don't think we're going to see a big impactful move, with the 26 or the 40 man roster from here on out.
Yeah, maybe a spring invitee, a veteran guy, more options in the bullpen to see if somebody can win a job. But you're right. I think right now they're gonna roll with the young guys they've got. They're gonna see who sticks around and who, sort of earns a job on the roster. We'll figure out what the position battles will entail. And there really shouldn't be too many of them if everybody stays healthy right now. So, maybe they start juggling things in the rotation at some point, but that's going to be later on. There has to be some sort of event some sort of change that makes it so that they need to start looking at the rotation. Otherwise they're going to go with who they've got.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You look at the other teams, Boston all of a sudden has a need for a shortstop, it makes too much sense that they would come to Cleveland and talk to Cleveland, maybe about Rosario, maybe about one of their upper level guys, shortstop prospects. But, I just don't see that happening. I think what they're going to open the year with right now, the main 20, the main starting nine or starting 10.
Yeah. And we can get into, in later podcasts about, how Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac need to really step up and prove themselves again this year to sort of maintain their spots in the rotation. Otherwise they're going to start rolling guys in behind them and they could be at risk, or police that could just go punch a pitching mound and take care of the problem itself right there. We'll see how that goes, but so that's the roster, I guess, set up right now. Just the list of guys, I believe you mentioned Shane Bieber signed for just over $10 million. He signed for like what, $10 million and $1,000 or something like that. What's with the weird number?
10.010, I thought.
What's with the weird number? Did they give any? There's got to be a story there. Why wouldn't you sign for $10 million or I don't get it. We've got to find, maybe we'll find out at Guards Fest this weekend why the contract was just over 10 million. Maybe it's to, you know, compare it to somebody else who's a comparable guy in arbitration, you know, a comparable contract, maybe.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Joe. I think Giolito signed with the White Sox for 10, I believe 10.4. So they're right. You know, quite a few pitchers in Bieber's class that all signed for right for around 10 million. So they're probably all trying to, you know, jockey for position there. I don't know if that's right, but it was, if you look at the arbitration settlements or agreements, there was a bunch of guys, you know, kind of, you know, in Shea Bieber's service class that were all signed for about the same amount.
What did Rosario get?
Rosario got 8.5.
Okay. And then Quantrill 5.55, Naylor 3.35. Who else? Plesac
2.95, Savali 2.6, and Karinchak 1.5. I think
So there you go. That's the all of the arbitration eligible Guardians are in the fold at the moment. So we'll move forward with that roster, as well as the international signing period that took place over the weekend. I know there's a lot going on at the Dominican Academy, you know, down there in the Dominican Republic. But they had a big signing event down there with a lot of those guys. The next Jose Ramirez is in that class, right? Right, Hoynsie?
You never know, Joe. I mean, 24 guys, they announced the signing of 24 international free agents, you know, guys from the Dominican, kids from the Dominican. You got to be 16 to sign, and most of them are just around 16, 17. You know, so 24 players signed, the Cleveland had a signing bonus pool of about 5.8 million. Their top two guys, Welbin Francisca, a shortstop, signed for $1.375 million, and an outfielder, Yerlin Luis, signed for $850,000. They're both from La Romano in the Dominican Republic. So, but Joe, these 24 kids signed. They had a group signing. They did a great job with, you know, announcing this. I guess the signing period started on Sunday and runs through December 15th of this year. So, you know, I don't know if they went through their whole signing bonus pool. But, you know, I think there'll probably be some players that they add, of, you know, going along here.
Yeah, and I know that there was also a lot of play ball activities, youth activities sponsored by Jose Ramirez and the Guardians down there. Ramirez was giving away bats and helmets and gloves to kids and just holding events down there. So it looked like it was a fun week, a fun weekend. Down in the Dominican with the Guardians, sort of, you know, they're one of the big franchises down there where you could walk around in the Dominican and see a lot of Cleveland gear because the folks down there, they know what a commitment the club has made to that area with their academy down there.
Yeah, they've been there for a long time, Joe. I think probably the Dodgers were the first team to really kind of put down their roots in the Dominican Republic, you know, and Cleveland wasn't far behind, and they've invested, you know, under Paul Dolan, they've invested a lot of time and a lot of money in developing players, signing players, you know, and not only that, but, you know, giving them an education, because so many of these kids, you know, leave school early, and just think about this, these kids, you know, are 17 and 16 years old that they signed, and they've, you know, the Indians, I mean, you know, the Guardians and every other, you know, big league club has been scouting them since they probably 13 or 14, you know, they all have trainers, they're all in these little academies. So it's a different life, and it's, you know, Sunday was a huge day for all these families and the players and the trainers, you know, it's a big event. I mean, it's a life-changing event to a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why there was so much disagreement back when they were trying to get the contract, the collective bargaining agreement worked out over the debate was over the internet, having an international draft and making that, you know, more of a sort of a regimented thing. It would be a big change for a lot of the guys down there in that area in the Dominican. Like you said, a day like this probably wouldn't happen if the rules had changed because of the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, there's, you know, two of the players Cleveland signed were actually born in Florida. Their hometowns are in Florida, but you know they have Dominican heritage. They spent a lot of time in the Dominican, and they went back there to sign because I thought, you know, they may have thought that they got a better deal that way than, you know, staying and being eligible for the MLB amateur draft, the first year player draft. You know, George Valera did the same thing, and he's the Cleveland's top outfield, top position player prospect right now.
Yeah, it's very similar to what George Valera did, and you know, maybe it's just a matter of having, you know, having the eyeballs just on you down there. Maybe you stand out a little bit more coming from the United States back to the Dominican, and you look a little more polished. I don't know, maybe to the scouts down there. We'll see. But hey, you just wanted to mention a piece that you wrote over the weekend on Carlos Baerga, our good friend Carlos, who just seems to be everywhere. You know, around the ballpark, around the team, and then you talked to Carlos and talked to him about maybe a new career possibility for this guy.
Yeah, Carlos, you're right. He is everywhere. And, you know, Carlos, you know, has for the last two off seasons, he's kind of shocked a lot of baseball writers. You know, he's broken some big stories. He, you know, he had the Rafael Devers extension, Boston signing Devers. He last year he had a couple of scoops. And, you know, Carlos has his own podcast. He does nightly from Puerto Rico, and you know, he knows everybody. You know, he's coached, he's played in winter ball in Puerto Rico. He worked for ESPN, you know, doing games in the Spanish language channel for 7 years, and in the WBC in Miami in March. Get this team, Joe. It'll be Carlos Baerga, Omar Vizquel, Tony Pena, and Luis Soho are going to do some of the games from Miami, the World Baseball Classic game. So that's going to be fun.
That's going to be the broadcast crew?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. I need to learn Spanish between now and then. I need to hear this. It'll be great.
Yeah, he's having a heck of a time. He's enjoying it. You know, he's taking some swings and misses like a lot of us, you know, in the prediction business. But he's hit a couple too. I think I'm trying to think of the big. He had Correa going to the Giants before that deal fell through, and he had a Verlander of all people. He had Verlander going to the Mets before anybody else did. And everybody who tweets, you know, they tweet, you know, to who had it first, and then and all the writers tweet, you know, hats off to Carlos Baerga for having this story first. And they go dot dot dot. Yes, that Carlos Baerga.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe, but. But yeah, no, just kind of neat to see Carlos and the connections that he's made and see him sort of prospering like this. Everywhere you look, the word that we use is ubiquitous. He's everywhere. So we'll look forward to seeing him when the WBC rolls around later on in March. I wanted to mention something you found, a one-time Cleveland player and outfielder, Alex Ramirez, and the success that he had sort of in his career after he was in Cleveland. What's the latest on Alex Ramirez?
Yeah, Alex Ramirez, excuse me, former outfielder for Cleveland from Venezuela. On Friday over the weekend, he was inducted into the Japanese Professional Baseball Hall of Fame, the first non-Japanese born player to be honored in that regard. He, you know, he played forever over there, Joe. He had 2,000 hits in Japan. I think he hit 300, maybe over 300 home runs in his entire career, counting the minors. He hit 508 home runs. He played briefly for Cleveland from 1998 to, I think, 2000. Probably only played about 90 games. But, Joe, just think about we talk about the pitching factory that Cleveland has now. Just think about those 90 franchise, the 90s franchise. The hitters they produced. Alex Ramirez couldn't even get a shot here. You know, Manny Ramirez, Jim Thome, Brian Giles, Richie Sexson. You know, they just kept rolling those guys out. And, a lot of them, like Giles and Sexson, there was no place for those guys to play on these teams.
Right, yeah. And that was sort of the thing at the time. It was like they couldn't – they had – so many outfielders, you know, that where you put them right now, they've got so many infielders. Where are these guys going to go? It seems to go in cycles and waves like that. And really once the pitching factory sort of, kicked in, and it has been a constant. Now they can sort of focus back on these position players, and we've got a good crop of them coming up now to see that, but maybe we'll run into the same problems that the Guardians did. That Cleveland did back in the late 90s, and have to start trading away good players to sort of further their keep their window open in the big leagues, at the big league level. So, Alex Ramirez, Japanese Hall of Fame, that's pretty cool. But, we'll look forward to seeing who the next Cleveland Hall of Famer is. There's a couple of guys on the ballot, and we're getting pretty close to the time and date when the names will be revealed and announced. Hoynesy, who do you think is getting in this year when Cooperstown opens its doors?
Boy, I think it's going to be tight, Joe. I think everyone is it looks like just from reading Twitter and looking at the polls, Scott Rowland's got a really good chance. I mean, he might be the only guy that gets in. I think the ballot is kind of cleared off with all the with Bonds and Clemens and Sosa, all the steroid related guys. That last year was their final year on the ballot, and so they've dropped off, and now the ballot is kind of, it's an open field right now, and there's not really a guy that really kind of jumps out and grabs you, but Rowland has made big strides over the last couple of years. And I would think if anyone gets in, it's going to be him, Joe.
Yeah. I think if I were making a prediction right now, I think one guy, and that guy is Scott Rowland. I sure would like to see Billy Wagner and maybe Andrew Jones get in at some point, but I don't know how much longer their window is on the ballot. Certainly a lot of worthy names on there, but there are still questions on a couple of them as well in terms of the steroid question. So we'll look forward to next week and the announcement for the Cooperstown class of 2023. It's the one thing to keep debating, I guess, at this point in the season or in the off season, when we're not talking about things like Guards Fest, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the eternal debate. Do you like a small hall? Do you like a big hall? Is it the hall of the very, very good, or is it the hall of the no doubt about it players? We've still got a couple of the steroid kind of tainted guys, Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez. In a perfect world, those guys would have been first ballot guys. They would have been already in, but that's not the case. And the clock is ticking on both of them. I've just from watching the ballots that have been posted online, they picked up quite a few votes. So I think, their vote totals, Rodriguez and Ramirez's vote totals, will probably go up this year.
Yeah, the voting electorate, so to speak, is changing demographically. Some of the older guys are falling off, and there are a lot more new first-time voters and younger voters. So They don't feel as strongly about the steroid era guys, and they will vote in favor of some of those guys. And you're going to see maybe a guy like Alex Rodriguez in his last couple of years of eligibility gets a boost because the younger voting electorate will be there to choose for him.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Rodriguez, I think this is what, a second or third year, Joe. So he's still got some time. Manny, I think this is his sixth or seventh year. So, you know, the clock is ticking a little faster on Manny.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, after eight more years, if more of the sort of the old guard starts falling off of their voting cycle and a lot more younger, newer voters come in, I think those newer, younger voters are more likely to vote for a guy like an Alex Rodriguez. And get him in, which wouldn't it be weird to have Rodriguez in the Hall of Fame, but not Bonds and Clemens? And, you know, he's just as tainted and guilty as those guys are. So,
yeah. And Joe, and we saw what happened when, you know, Clemens and Bonds went to the Veterans Committee this past winter. I mean, in December, they did not get in. They didn't get a sniff. So, you know, that would be the irony of ironies for sure.
All right, we're going to wrap it up for today's podcast. On Thursday, we're going to give a whole rundown of what we're looking forward to and who we're going to talk to at Guards Fest coming up on Saturday. Should be a fun day at the Convention Center. A lot to look forward to there. Hoynsie, we will talk to you on Thursday.
All right, Joe.